ready to go. Ready to go. Good morning. Plenty of sunshine in downtown Wausau. At our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, sunny skies, 37 degrees. The time is 9:07. I'm Chad Holmes, hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa, and also on the Civic Media app. Coming up at 9:20, we'll be talking Wisconsin sports with Paul Micklake. Also, getting set for the weekend. And before we go any further, say good morning to Ian Welsh. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Anything on your mind before we move forward? Anything that you want to bring up to the folks out there tuned in? Also, like to mention that we, after a few issues with our stream is back up on Facebook and X on the Bow Falls radio page. So if you have any comments to make, you can do that there. We had apparently we were maxed out. So somebody back at our corporate headquarters was able to figure that out. But as we head to the end of the week, I know that today is big because you got to get it right today. You got to get a two in a row. Gotta give two.
Yes, I really.
You snapped your losing streak yesterday with our number for the day.
I really need to focus to keep that alive.
And you can have a two in a row going into the weekend to really enjoy it.
Absolutely. But it should be a beautiful weekend. Just it's nice to have the temperature actually above a 40. I mean, I'm okay if it's in the 50s, but a 60s is kind of spoiling us a little bit. But it should be a nice weekend to get outside, just relax before the next big work week.
Absolutely. So, yep, we're going to go out there and enjoy that weekend. I want to talk about selling out because I tend to sometimes, I think I'm sometimes a little too strict when it comes to selling out because I tell people all the time, there is a sports broadcaster in our area that does quite a bit in terms of broadcast of sporting events. And I have been very active with people I know and saying, I will never, ever, ever work for that organization or person because I don't believe in what the same beliefs that the owner of the organization has. I feel that he's been a little unethical at times and I will not do it. And I think, and I've said, I will be the only one probably that doesn't do it. I'm very fortunate that I don't have to do it because we have it here at WXCO. But if at some point WXCO decided to discontinue our sporting events, I don't think that's going to happen. But if it did happen, or if I lost my job at WXCO, I would not go to this organization. I've said it. I said, everybody else can sell out. I will not sell out. Mm-hmm. Well, I found a very interesting example of somebody that I think has sold out. And if you remember, people out there may remember Joe Lockhart. He was a former presidential press secretary under Bill Clinton. So he has not been, you know, involved in day-to-day governmental activities for quite a long time. But former Bill Clinton press secretary Joe Lockhart. And he once referred to Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman as, quote, one of the most ruthless killers in the world, end quote. Does not seem to be much wiggle room when you call somebody one of the most ruthless killers in the world.
Nope.
Well, Joe Lockhart, former Clinton press secretary, has now registered as a foreign agent of a sovereign wealth fund controlled by Mohammed bin Salman. So basically, here's this guy who Joe Lockhart called one of the most ruthless killers in the world. Apparently, the check was big enough where he is now a foreign agent of this ruthless killer. I think that would be the textbook definition of selling out. So whether you're on the left, whether you're on the right, whether you're on the middle, they all sell out. Too many sell out. Lockhart is the managing director, a managing director of the public relations firm Rational 360. He registered with the Department of Justice as a foreign agent of the Public Investment Fund. And this Public Investment Fund, I don't know if a lot of you out there follow this very closely, but this Public Investment Fund has its fingers in everything. They have bought sports franchises in Europe. They have put lots of money into Premier League soccer teams. They have put lots of money into Formula One racing. They have put lots of money into all sorts of sporting activities. They're the ones behind this LIV Golf Tour, as it's putting lots of money in trying to take over the golf world and perhaps even be partners with the PGA Tour. And then that's not even just the tip of the iceberg. They've put lots of money into all these business dealings. They put lots of money into Jared Kushner's consulting firm. They are everywhere. The amount of money this public investment fund has and what they're spending in order to try to wipe the blood away from this regime is awe-inspiring. And a lot of folks who have said, oh, I'm not going to work with those Saudis. Well, when that check gets bigger and bigger and bigger, they sell out. And Lockhart touts his ability to control a narrative on behalf of Rational 360 clients. So what Lockhart is now going to be doing is controlling a narrative for a murderous regime. It is wrong. It is wrong on every single level. And he's going to engage with Congress on behalf of the Saudis. He's going to engage with the executive branch. He obviously has a lot of friends in high places, having worked with Clinton over those years.
Apparently so.
And it's, you know, it is truly wrong on every level. I mean, there should not be a price that you could sell yourself for.
Absolutely.
But unfortunately, we see golfers sell themselves to the Saudis. We see government officials sell themselves to the Saudis. So, and in this era, I think a lot of people think there's no such thing as hypocrisy. I think there are people that think that. I don't think that. I think you can still very much be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And that's one of the worst things I think you can be. If somebody calls you a hypocrite and it's true, that is one of the worst things that you could possibly be. And Joe Lockhart is a hypocrite. If he calls them, again, one of the, what was the quote on it? I'll make sure I get this right. He called, where is this? He called Bin Salman one of the most ruthless killers in the world. And now he's taking money and actually lobbying for this guy. I mean, it is truly hypocrisy.
Exactly.
Are there any limits for us these days? And I'm going to say this to the 70-plus million people who voted for Donald Trump the last time around.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And just, again, this week, he was making some funny names. He calls them funny, but I think they're just childish names, this time towards Gavin Newsom, the governor of California.
Oh, gosh.
And the whole idea is, would you want your child acting like Donald Trump? Would you like your child to grow up to be somebody who acted like Donald Trump?
Certainly not.
And I don't think so. But yet these people will get on their hands and knees, crawl across glass in order to make this guy the leader of the United States of America and the free world. So again, the hypocrisy of everybody out there right now, everybody has to take a look in the mirror right now. Mm-hmm. Selling out still matters.
It does.
It does. It's not always about making a buck. At a certain point, we have to stand up and say, what is right?
Being a hypocrite is not helpful at all.
No.
For those of you who don't know, a hypocrite is a person who says one thing but does another.
It's about having a certain set of ethics and values and then going against it.
Mm-hmm.
By saying, hey, I value this. I find this to be ethical, this not to be ethical. And then, like Joe Lockhart did, turning around and completely selling out and being unethical. So again, and the thing is, it should not have been a tough call for Lockhart. I don't care what the number was on that contract. It should not have been a tough call to say, you know, and I can't imagine that Joe Lockhart is struggling right now. I can't imagine that Joe Lockhart needed to get this additional sale in order for his consulting firm or his lobbying firm to continue to be profitable. I don't think that Joe Lockhart was worried about paying the rent here on the first day of March, and he needed to sell his soul in order to get a big check from the Saudis. So again, folks, I guess that's the bottom line. Have a certain set of values. Have a certain set of ethics, and stand by them. Do not find yourself selling out for a certain price, saying, well, no, I won't do it for this amount, but hey, here at this amount, I'm going to do it. So Joe Lockhart, if I had some sort of a hypocrisy award to give out today, I would give it out to Joe Lockhart. Because, again, a man that served as press secretary to the president of the United States, Bill Clinton, has probably had a really good career using the influence that he got by being in the White House, needed to get just a little bit more or a lot more money, and takes it from a murderous regime like Saudi Arabia. So, again, I just wanted to mention that here to start things off. And hopefully, again, don't think that we live in a post-hypocrisy world, because we
don't. No, we're still in the middle of it.
No, yep, that is exactly right.
We're at the very peak of hypocrisy right now.
I think we may well be. It is a Friday morning. Lots of sunshine out there. Temperature already knocking on the door of 40 degrees. We will be coming back and talking to Paul Micklin coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Friday, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Joined by Paul Micklin, and I think we should take the rest of the day off and go golfing.
It's really beautiful out there, isn't it?
It is.
It's just that perfect weather, sunshine, and it's a little chilly yet, but it's one of those where a nice sweatshirt weather.
That's true.
It's perfect out there.
Yep, absolutely. So, good Friday to get things ready for the weekend and talk some sports. I think you need to thank me, because I obviously lit a fire under the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, I thought today when we came in it was going to be Fire Friday, because 2 weeks ago you wanted to get rid of everybody.
I know.
And
but it lit a fire.
Yeah,
lit a fire.
When people are wrong? Is that what is that what they say when they jumped a little?
I just spent the last 10 minutes talking about hypocrisy. I guess I can just jump right into it, you know? It's like I was, but again, I mean, we've seen these moments of hope in the past too, so let's see the consistency continue.
But they're stacking them.
Yes, they are. And they're doing things that were unusual. I mean, again, the defense looks better. I mean, the Charlotte games, yeah, that's one thing. But last Sunday against Philly, coming off that late night in Minneapolis, and to hold the Sixers under 100 points and win that game, I thought was a bit of a statement game. And also the Minnesota game last Friday was, I think, a statement game, because Minnesota had beaten them by more than 20 points in Milwaukee just a couple of weeks ago. And for the Bucks to go into Minneapolis and knock off a team that, as you've reminded me, is near the top of the Western Conference.
They were, when they played them, the number one team.
Yeah.
I don't think they are now. But
they're still up there. Yes, and so again, those were two. I thought, you know, whatever they did during that little break for the All-Star game, they've come out and seem to have had a bit of an epiphany, and they're playing some really good basketball.
Should we still fire people?
No, I think
Are we getting rid of people?
I've decided that we don't need to fire them at this point.
Should we wheel him in again? Because I remember that comment.
Pat Beverly?
Yeah.
Wheeled him in the wheelchair.
Yep, I remember you saying that.
The ancient guy with his, he's got his oxygen tank. He's heading to the slot machines over the casino.
Yep, I I'm not going to forget that. And again,
of course,
four games doesn't mean anything.
You forget the things that you say, but you never forget the things that I say.
That's how this goes. That's how they do it in the real world.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean they're fixed. I just like to see things where they're actually dominating teams. I mean, even in the first half.
Right.
Nah, I shouldn't say first half because it's way past half, but.
During the Adrian Griffin era.
Yeah. They weren't even winning. They were struggling to beat anybody. There was no garbage time, you know. And even last night got a little ugly at the end. But they still held them under 99 points. Or 299 points. It's those kinds of things. So defensively, I still don't think, like, Damian Leonard is clicking 100% yet. I think we still got room for... but I think Beasley has shown that he's actually legit, that he's fit his spot. He's got his niche in there. And, you know, with veterans sometimes, and we said this, I think, from day one, Chad, is last year they were so hyped to win the regular season that they fell down a little bit. And I think that's changed. I think they're so veteran heavy right now that they're literally going – they're like, okay, now it's time to play.
One of the things, though, this year that has been a little different than the last couple of years, while, you know, you're still about the playoffs, these guys are not taking a lot of those, what do they call it? I forget the term. Load management nights off. They're playing pretty much every night. I mean, I like that. I think you can have load management within games where you don't have to sit out completely. And I understand the idea of just saying, okay, we're going to take the whole day off. But I think that the way they're going about it is actually better. And I do think that, yes, it's about that, but I don't get the sense that they're not trying to get back to the top. I think that's actually I don't agree totally with that. I think that,
well, anytime you try to win, you try to get
right
to the top.
But I don't think that there's a big change in the mentality about the regular season. I think no matter what, I mean, I think they want to be great in the regular season. They want to win the championship. I don't think they lost in the first round because they had the wrong mentality in the regular season last year.
I didn't say they had the wrong mentality. I said they have a different mentality this year on that.
I don't agree with that. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's your fan. I mean, well, but you said wrong. I said different. And different is, and again,
I don't think the mentality's changed at all, to be honest with you. I think they want to be a number one seed. I think they want to win the NBA championship.
Well, everybody wants to be number one seed, but and they're playing more, like you said. But I'll tell you this right now, you're telling me, I disagree, because Giannis is coming up taking jumpers. In the playoffs, he's going to try to take the ball to the hole more. There is a different mentality of that.
I'm not saying that the games are exactly the same, because every team plays better defense in the playoffs. I mean, we see that all the time. I mean, in an 82-game season where you're playing back-to-backs and flying across the country, the energy level is not the same. You have to moderate, I think, you know, during the regular season. I'm just saying that the idea that they're thinking, well, it would be a bad thing to be first because last year.
When did I say that?
You say that, but I mean, this idea that it doesn't matter is not true.
Who said it doesn't matter? Who said it doesn't matter?
Well, okay, what are you saying then?
I'm saying is exactly what you just said with, because they were trying to get up all the time. They were trying to get everything. Now you could tell that, you know, because of the travel and stuff like that.
Again, that's not what I said either. They were not playing every game, like the seventh game of the playoffs last year in the regular season.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying there was a different mindset. The veterans know that they can turn it on and off. That's a fact. I think
they're playing more this year than they did last year.
And I would agree with that. And I think they need to do that more. They need to do that to win. I don't think they need to do it as much last year. Holiday was out some.
I think that
Middleton's maybe, out. He's and, been and, out
and
for
I
a think, lot.
And that's true that, that's because he's physically not able to play every game. I mean, there were games where they were physically able to play. They just wanted to rest them, you know. Yeah. But I think this year, I agree that last year they had a group that had been together. Now they have a new group, and I think every rep is important to, when you have a lot of different players as well. Last season they were kind of running it back from the team that they had the year before.
Different coach too.
Yeah,
and two different coaches.
multiple different coaches, and yeah, absolutely. And I think that especially with Doc trying to establish some sort of mentality defensively, I think you're right in that being it is different. So
this is different when I'm guess what I'm getting at. This is different right now with Doc Rivers than it was with Griffin.
Yeah. I mean, we do see a difference. I mean, you see some seeds actually now. I never saw you. It just felt like, you know, nothing was changing under Griffin. I mean, it was just the same old every time. And
try to outscore him and hope for the best.
Yeah, so you actually see some defense. And again, that Philly game I thought was a statement game last Sunday. Because of the travel.
I agree with you. Coming back at a late game on Monday or on Friday night, I mean, at like 1 o'clock, they probably didn't get there till 4 in the morning.
TV games.
Money.
Exactly.
You love talking about that.
Love the money. The time is 9:29. Not going so well for Greg Garden, the Badgers. We have to talk about that. Marquette doing well, but a scary little moment with Tyler Kolek, so we'll talk about that as well. Coming up after an information update, news, weather, and sports coming up, and then more with Paul Micklegg here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:34. Sunny skies, 37 degrees here in downtown Wausau. Talking Wisconsin sports with Paul Micklegg. Agreeing to disagree as always. And
college. Don't you say that's good radio?
That's always good radio, because what would be worse than saying, yeah, I agree with you. Today on Crossfire, we agree with each other. You know, it's like, no. But let's start with Marquette, because number five, again, I should look at a chart, because it's kind of an interesting chart this year, because Marquette started off so hot, they got into the top five. Then they had that little blip where they dropped back into the teens, and then it's been slowly moving up. And then they had that little blip against UConn, and now they're back moving up again. And I thought the game against Providence the other night, they lost to Providence earlier this season. Providence, a very good basketball team, and boy, that was an impressive win. I mean, they were clicking. They were really clicking. And I saw a story as well that was like one of the most, in terms of offensive efficiency, one of the best Marquette games, not only this year, but basically in the last decade. I mean, they were that efficient against a pretty good defensive squad in Providence.
Yeah, they're playing good basketball overall. Moving the ball. They really push it. They push it hard. I get to see the last three games, and they do a great job of that ball comes out of that hoop. Even if it goes in, it's coming. It's flying. They're going, and they put pressure on that defense.
Do you remember
at all
when Shaka Smart was at Virginia Commonwealth? I mean, this Marquette team plays just like they did at VCU, that mentality. And it's very impressive, because it's at the next level. I think in a certain respect that you call it the mid-majors, where they know they have to kind of play at that level. Sometimes when you get to that next level, it's like, we'll play the pretty way. We're going to just use our athletic talent and beat them that way. But this Marquette team has that, I would say, worker mentality that you saw at VCU during Smart's best days, and he's been able to bring it here to Milwaukee.
I mean, it helps when you have a point guard that is probably an All-American first, not first team, but in the top three, first, second, or third team, to run the offense. And they did do a good job with him out, but I'll be honest with you, they're not the same team without that guy. That guy he's the real deal with how he runs that offense and what he's looking. He knows when to take a shot. He knows to get people involved. It's fun watching him, and their defense intensity is so high. He's playing when he was at VCU, and I'm not saying they didn't have talent because they did have talent, but the talent even is greater that he has right now at Marquette. But it starts with that point guard, and he does a great job. And they got other guys. I mean, they obviously lost a little depth with the ACL injury with the one guy, but they have depth. I mean, those guys interchangeable. They can shoot. They all can shoot. They can all drive to the hole. And their defense intensity on ball, if you watch their on-ball intensity, it's amazing. Now, I don't think sometimes it gets them in the position where they give up easy layups once in a while because they're – but they are on-ball pressure is – if you like that, and you which I do, and you watch that, it's quite amazing.
I actually was looking at Kolek, number one. He has an oblique injury, and I thought, well, it'd be great to. I would love to have an oblique injury because I'm too old to have oblique injuries. But I had forgotten that he had actually transferred in because I was, you know, the other night I was looking at it. He played at George Mason his first year, and then came the first year which was Shaka Smart as well. And I mean, it's amazing that, you know, sometimes, you know, you talk about that portal and how easy it is to go. That changed the whole trajectory for Marquette basketball in a way, didn't it?
Correct. I mean, that's I think it's gotten worse since then. I will be honest with you.
That was,
I mean,
I think that was pre-big money.
I think that was an actual transfer. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that was.
Well, he was like, but he was like, he was the Atlantic 10 freshman of the year. So it wasn't like he was riding the pines over there. But no, I mean, it was just interesting that you know, how things just sort of, the combination of Shaka coming, because I bet you he doesn't come to Marquette if Wojo's still there.
Yep.
What is Wojo doing these days?
What is Wojo? Where is Wojo?
Where's Wojo? He's not been. But
he's got a lot of money wherever he is.
Because he had a number of years left on that contract. He has been doing okay the last 3 years.
Yep. And you probably feel bad for him yet, though, because he doesn't have a job. You remember? You feel bad when people.
I do feel bad
for those
guys. I hung around with Wojo longer than probably most people did.
Yeah, way too long. And obviously we can see that he was the problem. I shouldn't say the problem, a part of the problem.
Well, the thing about, again, getting off on a tangent here, the thing about Wojo and the thing that I really like here about Shaka Smart that's different is we know that if Wojo had been successful at the level that Shaka is, he would have been gone. He was not staying there. That was a stepping stone job. For Shaka Smart, I get the sense this is the job. He went to Texas, where they have everything.
Yep.
I mean, in terms of financial resources in athletics, nobody tops Texas. I mean, they're among the best in terms of putting the money into the programs, all sports, because they have the Longhorn Network. I mean, they got money under every cushion in Austin. Shaka Smart, I think he realized he needs a certain type of mentality within the community, and I think he found it at Marquette, like VCU. I think, as I said, it feels like he found where he is very comfortable and where he can win big. I mean, you're top five in the country. So with Wojo, if he would have been the Duke coach when Coach K retired. He was not going to be a lifer at Marquette. He only became a lifer at Marquette because he was mediocre.
Yes.
He was not good enough to leave, but he was not bad enough to be fired until they said, we've had enough of this.
Yes. You know, the funny thing is you're talking about Wojo, and
I bet you're the first people to talk about Wojo in a while.
Well, that is for sure. And you were saying that I think that he Shaka Smart, he's from Wisconsin. You can win big there. The last time I saw somebody big time leave from a place after that they were in spot was your buddy Brett Bielema from Wisconsin after they were on top.
Right.
He did what you were Wojo wanted to do, and then he actually did do that and he failed on that.
And you get no joy out of that, I'm sure.
No, that's the one game I watch every week is wherever he's coaching, just so I can get on you. But But I'm saying is that Shaka Smart, he's from Wisconsin. You're right. He came on big. You know what? At the end of the day, Marquette is the only show of college basketball wise or college that, for Marquette. That's their biggest thing.
Yeah, and they put the resources in.
They put the resources in.
I mean, basketball has never been underfunded at Marquette.
No.
I mean, if they need it, they got it. They got it. So
you're right. I think he'll be there for as long as he's not going anywhere.
No, and that's a great thing because you hate to see it, you know, where someone builds a program and then decides. I mean, look at, like, Washington football. This Kaden DeBoer came in for a couple of years, got him to the national championship game, and then takes off for Alabama. I mean, that's.
But where was he before that? I mean, Shaka Smart, you said he's been to the mountaintop already.
Right, right.
That guy was not to the mountain. He started way down low and worked himself out. Right. I don't blame him to go to Alabama.
Well, yeah. I mean, I understand it, but it still doesn't make Washington feel any better because now they, you know, got a new coach and they've been.
Are you saying that you shouldn't try to go to the mountaintop as a coach?
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying for Washington, does the University of Washington fans feel good about that?
No.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying the board's doing the wrong thing. Yeah. I'm saying that if Marquette had lost, I'm saying that, yes.
Yeah.
And Marquette, up to this point, has been a stepping stone. I mean, you go back to the 1990s, Kevin O'Neill. He left after getting to the Sweet 16. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, it has turned into a stepping stone job, but hopefully now that it's not because they found the right guy that combines both the fact that he wants to be here and also has the capability of leading a national championship program.
Correct. And if it's crazy because in the 70s that Marquette was a destination. Well, or should have been. I mean, you know, Al McGuire, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but that was a completely different era.
Correct. Correct. I'm not saying, but that's hopefully we get back to that level.
And speaking of trying to get back to a level, Wisconsin.
We should fire him, just right? Fire Friday.
A lot of people. But there are. I mean, you know, Greg Gard, you know, every time there's a losing streak, oh, we got to get rid of Greg Gard. I never said get rid of Greg Gard. Why are you saying that to me?
Because it's Friday. Fire Friday. That's why I'm giving you a hard time.
Trying. I know. But they were 2-6 in February. I mean, struggling. But you've said.
They got to win tomorrow.
But you've also said, though, when they were winning, they were probably playing much better than they really are.
Yep.
And they're probably playing a little bit worse than they are right now.
Yep. They're somewhere in the middle. And
they're 18-10. And obviously, they're probably right where they should be.
Pretty close. Pretty close. 18. You know, talk about maybe one game here and there.
Right.
But they're probably where they belong. Let's be honest. They lost three tough road games that they should have. If they would have even won one of those or maybe two of them, they look a lot different.
And the problem is they're losing these close games that it feels like they typically win. I mean, over the last decade, Gard has been pretty good about winning some of these tighter games. And right now, they're finding ways to lose, aren't they?
All of them. I mean, especially on the road. Which, again, in the Big Ten, if you look at the percentage, it's tough to win on the road in the Big Ten. But you have to do that. If he does not win tomorrow, you want to see the heat turn up, Chad. It's going to turn up like no tomorrow. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that is what's going to happen.
You're right. I mean, in this era, I mean, it just is. I mean, everybody has to win big. And I think a lot of it has to do with social media and sports talk radio and all that, where in the past, I mean, I remember growing up when Steve Yoder was the coach, and when they made the NIT, it was a cause for celebration.
Yes, I followed him. I read the stats. Tracy Webster, when they got Tracy Webster and Griffin and Finley.
You know, it's like you want to be entertained, and if they won, it was great. But nowadays, it's like you have to win, and not only win, but win big, because Greg Gard has won big when you look at his career. He's won big. I mean,
yes.
The only problem was he followed a guy who made it to the Final Four a couple of times. I mean, that's probably the only problem.
They have to win tomorrow. That's a must game. I could not even tell you how much pressure's on them. They have to win tomorrow.
Could they fall right out of the tournament? I don't think so, but could they?
I don't think so, but what they're doing is they're falling themselves out of that first four bye in the Big Ten. They have to win at least two of the three to have a chance.
And we were talking about Marquette and Wisconsin making it through the first weekend. It's going to look a lot more difficult for Wisconsin because they're falling, as I said, right into the 8-9 game, where if you win that game, then you play the number one seed on Saturday or Sunday.
You know, the crazy thing is, Chad, we're sitting here and saying this. I have confidence that Wisconsin and Greg Gard will get into that second weekend. But you know what? People, they'll get to that second weekend, and then they'll lose, and then people are still not going to be happy.
Oh, that's not enough.
That's not enough.
No, is that enough for you? That's enough for me. if you get into Sweet 16, that's a great year.
That's a great year.
Yeah, no, not everybody can win the championship.
Really?
It's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe that.
I mean, I know you don't believe that because you're always winning championships, whether in track or football. But you know, and there's always that sense that there's always something a little bit better out there. That if Wisconsin got, moved on, they could get, they probably go after Tony Bennett or somebody like that. And even Bennett, where he's had ups and downs, not every year is.
They lost in the first round, right?
But even I think this year they've had, moments.
Wisconsin beat them?
Yeah. So it's like, but the idea that, hey, we're going to get that next up-and-comer. But then also with Greg Gard, like Shaka Smart, it's a destination job for him, and I like that as well, where I don't know if Wisconsin brought in that next hot shot that they wouldn't be looking for that next step as well.
Because the truth is, you're right, because let's be honest, if Fickell goes out there and wins a national title,
they'll be begging him to go to Ohio State.
He'll be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality of it, and that's what you're saying. Correct me if I'm wrong.
And Wisconsin's had this tradition of having folks that kind of are Wisconsin guys. Like, Crist was a Wisconsin guy.
Don Morton.
We thought Bielema was a Wisconsin guy. Until he wasn't.
No. He was. I don't know if he ever was.
Oh, please.
But these guys were Wisconsin guys.
He enjoyed Madison.
Yeah, too much. Maybe that's why.
Maybe that was one reason. You never know. But yeah, Badgers, big one. Marquette, it'd be an interesting game, a 5-12 game. Obviously, if they win that one again, it puts another. I mean, they're knocking on the door for a number one seed.
Hey, I'll talk to you. I'll tell you all about it because I know you're going to be busy with a state championship.
Yeah,
enjoy that.
Yeah, you'll tell me what happens.
Yes, I'll tell you what happens.
Okay, very good. Paul McLeig again every Friday here on the program. Have a good weekend.
You too, Chad.
Go Cards tonight.
Yes. Well, and go. Warriors, I know you got a busy weekend.
Raiders and Warriors and Storm and
everything else. So have a great weekend.
Absolutely.
I know you love doing it.
Absolutely. We're going to come back. One more segment to go. Our daily history lesson coming up here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. On Friday night, the Wausau West High School boys basketball team starts the playoffs, traveling to Kekana in a Division I regional semifinal. Hear all the exciting action live on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening tip at 7 p.m. Wausau West boys basketball on Bull Falls Radio is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurant, Sun Printing, Graphic Packaging International, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Menke Automotive, Shine Chiropractic, and Picks and Pieces. It's Wausau West at Kekana in a Division I boys basketball regional semifinal. Friday, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening tip at 7 p.m. On Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Yep, the first day of March. Yesterday was Leap Day, so we have to wait now 4 more years for another Leap Day, another February the 29th. So hopefully everybody enjoyed it and got that extra day of February. But now we head towards the weekend here on Friday, March the 1st. So that means it is day number 61 of this year. And that means there are 305 days remaining in 2024. And some famous events have occurred on this date in history. Going back to 1912. Albert Berry made the first parachute jump from a moving airplane. On this date, in 1961, President of the United States John F. Kennedy established the Peace Corps. On this date, in 1997, Arizona approved a proposal to install divorce vending machines to cope with the high demand for divorces. On this date in 2000, a fan of veteran hard rockers AC/DC paid $28,100 for a music lesson from the group's lead guitarist, Angus Young. Wade Sickler of Washington State made the winning bid in an online charity auction. On this date in 2004, Terry Nichols was convicted of state murder charges and being an accomplice to Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh. On this date in 2015, astronauts at the International Space Station completed a tricky cable installation project to prepare for the addition of docking ports. And on this date in 2020, the first known COVID-19 case was identified in New York, a healthcare worker who returned from Iran. Some famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Roger Daltrey, lead singer of The Who, turns 80 years old today. Actor Dirk Benedict, he was one of the stars of The A-Team. He turns 79 years old today. Ron Howard started his career as Opie Taylor on The Andy Griffith Show, went on to play Richie Cunningham in Happy Days, became a famous director and producer. Ron Howard, 70 years old today. Actor Catherine Bach played Daisy Duke on The Dukes of Hazzard. She is 70 today. Actor Tim Daly of Wings is 68. TV chef Paul Hollywood, The Great British Baking Show, is 58. TV host Don Lemon, turning 56 years old today. Actor George Eads of MacGyver and CSI is 57. Actor Park Mall Gosselaar from Saved by the Bell and NYPD Blue, 50 years old today. Kesha is 37, and Justin Bieber, 30 years old today. So, famous birthdays. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events. Starting the month of March, March is Music in Our Schools Month. It is National Caffeine Awareness Month. I need to think about that. It is Sing With Your Child Month, National Craft Month, Employee Spirit Month, National Noodle Month, National Peanut Month, National Sauce Month. It is National Eye Donor Month. This one's interesting. National Celery Month. It is National Flower Month, not F-L-O-W-E-R, but F-L-O-U-R. National Frozen Food Month. It is Women's History Month. Optimism Month. So it's a reason to be optimistic.
Absolutely.
It is also a Horse Protection Day. Beer Day. Wisconsin has Beer Day every day, I think. It is Read Across America Day. Self-Injury Awareness Day. Share a Smile Day. That's absolutely a good one. Dress in Blue Day. I'm wearing blue today. You're wearing blue today. I guess we got lucky. It is Pig Day. It is Retired, Not Retired Day. It is Re-Fired, Not Retired Day. Peanut Butter Lovers Day. Wedding Planning Day. World Day of Prayer. Plan a Solo Vacation Day. I do that often, actually. And it is World Compliment Day. So
nice.
A lot of different reasons to acknowledge here today. All right. Time to start. Continue the winning streak. Yesterday, Ian Welsh snapped his losing streak with our number of the day. And now it's time to make it two in a row.
I'm ready.
All right.
I'm ready.
This is weird. Percentage of manual transmission autos sold in the U.S. last year.
Oh, boy.
So basically stick shifts. Percentage of manual transmission auto sold in the U.S. last year.
Okay.
All right. Is it 0.5%? Is it 1.2%? Is it 2.2%?
It's not very high, but okay.
Very low. All very low. 0.5%, 1.2%, 2.2%.
I'm going to go B. I'm going to go 1.2%.
The correct answer is 1.2%.
Yes!
Two in a row.
Going into the weekend with a win.
What a winning streak. A chance now to enjoy it over Saturday and Sunday. Man, congratulations. Yeah, you are darn good. You're darn near doing a jig over there. So yeah. Congratulations.
Awesome.
Well, that's going to wrap it up on a high note our week here on Bull Falls Radio. Again, Pat McKee, Wausau School Board candidate, incumbent member of the board, comes in on Monday. So we'll talk to him at 9:20. Ian, have a great weekend.
You too, Chad. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Stick around. Matt and Air on Air coming up next. Have a great weekend. I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.